Chapter 9. Mental States. One day someone brought a delicious dish of fish to offer to the monks at a temple. In that temple lived one monk and one temple boy. When the monks sat down to eat, the boy offered him the whole dish. In it were 8 small pieces of fish. The monk took 3 at once. As the monk ate, the temple boy watched attentively. He said to himself, "Well, he is the monk and the head of the temple. Let him have 3 pieces. There are 5 more. That is enough for my lunch and dinner." When the monk finished eating, he stretched out his hand to pick up more fish. The temple boy thought, "Surely he is the monk and the head of the temple. He deserves half of this dish. Let him have 1 more." This time the monk took 2 pieces. Then the boy thought, "Never mind, let him have 5 pieces. There are 3 more, that is plenty for me." After eating the 2 pieces, the monk helped himself to 2 more, leaving only 1 small piece of fish in the dish. Then the boy thought, "Never mind, I am small, he is big. 1 piece is enough for me." When the monk reached for the last piece, the boy's patience ran out. "Venerable sir," he cried, "are you going to eat this last piece of fish without leaving anything for me?" In his greed for fish, the monk was so unmindful that he had totally forgotten the faithful temple boy, waiting patiently to have his meal. The monk was so embarrassed that ever after he refrained from eating greedily. Developing mindfulness of greed and other states of mind is hard work. As we have noted, because we see mind only by its contents, we cannot contemplate the mind by itself. When consciousness with greed arises in the mind, instead of looking at the mind, we quickly do what the greedy mind demands, as we see clearly in the traditional story of the greedy monk and the temple boy. We follow our instinct, acting blindly and impulsively, even if we suspect we may regret our actions later. Once the mind is obsessed, we seldom have enough discipline to be mindful. We speak, think, and act in bewildered haste. Mindfulness training teaches us to pause and look at the mind. First, we practice while sitting on the cushion. As thoughts come and go, we watch them arise, peak, and pass away. Since we are not engaging in immediate action based on our impulses, we are able to assess our mental states calmly. The 4 Foundations of Mindfulness Sutta recommends that we watch particularly for 8 pairs of mental states. Our goal is learning to recognize whether the mind is 1. Greedy or not greedy. 2. Hateful or not hateful. 3. Deluded or not deluded. 4. Contracted or distracted or not contracted or distracted. 5. Not developed or developed. 6. Not supreme or supreme. 7. Not concentrated or concentrated. 8. Not liberated or liberated. The first 4 pairs of mental states can be experienced both during meditation sessions and while we are engaging in everyday activities. After practicing awareness of them on the cushion, we often find it easier to be mindful of them at other times. The last 4 pairs focus on states we achieve only through dedicated meditation practice. Knowing about these states inspires us to try to attain them. To begin, let's look briefly at each pair to help us recognize them. Greedy or not? We have all acted on impulse like the greedy monk. Suppose we see a dish of food on a buffet table that we like very much. Our greedy mind becomes active. We scoop deeply into the dish and serve up a big portion without thinking about the people lined up behind us eyeing the same dish. The goal of mindfulness training is becoming aware of our mental states so that we can take steps to short-circuit our impulsive actions. The moment we realize that our mind is obsessed, we think about the discomfort we might cause others who are waiting their turn. Like the greedy monk in the story, we apply the discipline of mindfulness in a practical way to change our behavior. When our greed disappears, even for a short period, we immediately feel more comfortable. We notice that easy state of mind and also recognize that greed can arise any time, any place, and in any situation. When we pay attention, we find many opportunities to reflect on our mental state and to practice self-control. I walk as much as I can every day. Often I see deer that have been shot by hunters. Sometimes the hunters cannot find them and the carcasses rot by the roadside. I also see trash thrown by the road. Beer cans, liquor bottles, TV antennas, refrigerators, tables and other household junk. Throughout the spring and summer, this garbage also rots. Because I desire to see a clean environment, these sights sometimes disturb my mind, but then mindfulness intervenes. I remind myself that desire does me more harm than good. Even the wholesome wish for people to stop hunting or to dispose properly of their trash unsettles my mind and causes me to suffer. So instead of being attached to my environmental principles, I remind myself that I cannot fix the whole world and let go of my desire. I may not be able to remove the world's greed, but I can get rid of my own. The moment I do, I begin to relax. Then and there, I experience peace. Hateful or not, in its natural state, the mind is like cool, calm, clear water. Hateful thoughts overheat the mind. Under their influence, the mind boils like a pot of water, distorting our ability to think clearly or see things as they are. Our relaxed, calm, and peaceful state of mind dissolves, and the mind simmers with jealousy, vengefulness, malicious thoughts, thoughts of cruelty. We want to cause harm to someone. If we do not intervene with mindfulness, the mind orders the tongue to become active and we wound others with harsh words. Mindfulness suffocates anger by taking away the fuel it needs to keep burning. When hate fills our mind, we should think, "Hate makes me sick. My thinking is confused. A sick mind defeats the purpose of my meditation. Only with a calm and peaceful mind can I see myself clearly and reach my goal." The Buddha described the relief we feel when we overcome hate-filled thoughts in this way. Suppose that a man were to become sick, afflicted, gravely ill, so that he could not enjoy his food and his strength declined. After some time, he recovered from that illness so that he could enjoy his food and regain his bodily strength. He would reflect on this, and as a result, he would become glad and experience joy. Deluded or not? Recognizing delusion is tricky. The mind must be free from delusion to understand that it is free from delusion. So how can we tell that we are deluded? The secret is remembering that by nature, the mind is clear and luminous. We have experienced this clarity many times, perhaps during a peaceful session of meditation, or just before falling asleep, or when we first wake up in the morning. We should make a habit of noticing this clarity when it occurs. Then, when delusion arises, it is easier to recognize it. Delusion most often manifests as confusion about who we are and how we exist. When strong greed or hatred grips the mind, we think, "I must have that," or "I despise that." The I that arises at that time feels very solid and very needy. It's as if the mind is locked in jail by that powerful need. We feel that if this need cannot be met, I will die. But remember, before the mind was imprisoned, it was free. That memory of freedom helps us to become mindful. The key is impermanence. When we pay attention to deluded thoughts, the cloud of confusion slowly fades. Soon the clear, blue sky-like mind appears again. When we recognize delusion as delusion, delusion ends. At least temporarily. When we attain the liberation of Nibbana, freedom from delusion becomes permanent. Contracted or distracted or not. A contracted mind is depressed or withdrawn. This mental state, related to displeasure, can occur at any time. Sometimes we experience it when we are sitting on the cushion and the thought arises that we are not making any progress in our meditation. We think, "Nothing works for me. Everyone else is happy and peaceful. I'm the only one who never gets it right." This mind also shows up during ordinary activities. We think, "Nobody loves me. I am so old, so fat, so ugly. I always say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing." When we become mindful that the mind is contracted in this way, The only thing to do is to keep watching and watching. Don't rationalize or justify. Don't allow one thought to lead to another. Don't hold on at all. Just pay attention. This state of mind is also impermanent. Like any other, it slowly fades away. The opposite of a contracted mind is a distracted one. The mind expands beyond all boundaries. The whole universe seems open and welcoming. We feel that we are really someone special. This mental state is also an obstacle. If we don't rein it in with purposeful attention, it escapes like the monkey mind and travels all over the universe through imagination. Not developed or developed. In everyday consciousness, we do not experience the developed mental state. Some translators use the word exalted to describe it. We reach this calm, peaceful, and tranquil state only as a result of deep concentration meditation. The mind has gone beyond normal consciousness. We feel as if we are floating a few feet above the ground. The mind is harmonious, relaxed, serene, bright, and balanced. Even accomplished meditators do not achieve this state every time they practice. When the meditation session ends and the mind returns to normal awareness, we experience the mental state that is not developed. Our ordinary consciousness, with its sense experiences, returns. We become aware that the mind is not anything special. Not supreme or supreme. The next pair of mental states also refers to the attainments of deep concentration meditation. Supreme means that we have reached the highest state. After the Buddha became enlightened, he said that his mind had attained an unsurpassable, peerless, or transcendent state. An accomplished meditator can also achieve this kind of mental experience. The mind is pure, soft, steady, and imperturbable. Although it is wonderful, this state is temporary. Only when we achieve liberation does it become permanent. Any other mental state achieved during meditation is not supreme. This term acknowledges that we know that it is possible for us to achieve a state that is superior. Not concentrated or concentrated. Sometimes when we meditate, the mind is able to concentrate on one thing without interruption. When we achieve this level of single-pointed focus, we train ourselves to be mindful of it, recognizing concentrated mind as concentrated mind. When the mind is contracted or distracted, we recognize that our mental state is not concentrated. Sometimes when people have distracted mind, rather than cultivating simple awareness, they complain, "My mind is jumping all over the place. I can't concentrate." Thinking along these lines leads only to more grumbling and more worry. Instead, we should follow the Buddha's advice and simply notice. Soon the mind that is not concentrated fades, and it becomes possible to achieve concentration once again. The key is observing with mindfulness. Not liberated or liberated. A liberated mind is free of all problems. It is not greedy, hateful, deluded, contracted, or distracted. It is developed, supreme, and concentrated. In the highest states of concentration meditation, it is possible to achieve temporary liberation. But even temporary liberation from harmful mental states is an extraordinarily beneficial experience. If we follow the steps of mindfulness very closely, eventually the mind may become fully liberated. Working with mental states. The pairs of mental states we've been considering do not always arise in the mind in the order given in the sutta. However, it is certain that when one half of a pair is present in consciousness, the other half is not. So, for instance, when greed fades away, we enjoy the state of not greed. In the Removal of Distracting Thought Sutta, the Buddha presents a series of vivid comparisons that illustrate ways to overcome a negative mental state so that we experience its opposite. The methods are listed in order of increasing forcefulness. If one fails, we try the next. Replace it. Say that greed, hate, or delusion arises because you pay unwise attention to some aspect of an object. Then pay attention instead to some wholesome aspect. just as a skilled carpenter assembling furniture might tap out a coarse peg by hammering in a fine one. Remember the suffering it causes. If the mental state does not go away, examine the danger in it. Contemplate that such thoughts are reprehensible and result in suffering, just as a young man or woman who is fond of ornaments would be horrified, humiliated, and disgusted by the carcass of a snake hung around the neck. Ignore it. If the thought persists, try to forget it. Pay no attention. Just as a man with good eyes who did not want to see something bad would shut his eyes or look away. Remember that it is impermanent. If the thought still stays, remind yourself that every mental state arises and passes away. Then, leaving the first state, the mind goes to the next, just as a man who is walking fast might think, "Why am I walking fast? What if I walk slowly?" Then he walks slowly. Later he might think, "Why am I walking slowly? What if I stand?" Then he stands. Later he might think, "Why am I standing? What if I sit?" Then he sits. Later he might think, "Why am I sitting? What if I lie down?" Then he lies down. Overpower it. If the thought still remains in your mind, then with teeth clenched and tongue pressed against the roof of your mouth, use all your energy to overcome it. Crush mind with mind, just as a strong man might seize a weaker man by the head or shoulders and beat him down, constrain him and crush him. Though negative states of mind are more troublesome and thus require strong measures to overcome them, we should also use mindfulness to encourage states that are wholesome and beneficial. For instance, when thoughts of generosity, loving friendliness, appreciation, and equanimity arise, we should ask ourselves, is my mindfulness strong enough to maintain them? If not, what else can I do? For instance, we can make changes to our lifestyle, such as living in a suitable place, keeping the house clean, getting together with like-minded friends, reading inspiring books, and developing a diligent daily mindfulness practice. With mindfulness and effort, we can develop wonderful states of mind, including confidence, patience, concentration, attention, thoughts of service, thoughts of simplicity, determination to good things, thoughts of contentment, and thoughts of wisdom. Key points for meditation on mental states. To practice mindfulness of mind, begin every day with meditation, using your breath as the primary focus. As the breath becomes calm, subtle, and relaxed, the mind becomes calm and relaxed. Practice awareness of your mental states by watching them arise, peak, and pass away. Practicing awareness on the cushion helps you to be mindful of mental states in everyday life. Awareness of impermanence also is impermanent. That is why the mind, while watching mental states arise, peak, and pass away, drifts from this awareness. While you are mindful of the changes of one mental state, another arises. Then, leaving the first state, your mind goes to the second. This means that the mind watching impermanence is also changing. If mindfulness of the impermanence of a harmful mental state is not sufficient to overcome it, try a more forceful method. When greed, hatred, delusion, and other harmful states are abandoned, the mind is steadied internally and quieted. In this state, it can be brought to singleness and concentrated. Mindfulness and concentration working together in unison and stability notice countless changes taking place in the mind simultaneously. Apply mindfulness and attention without concepts. Ideas or thoughts are impediments. Without them, you can focus the mind like a laser beam on the five aggregates. Then the mind can see that I exists only when the body, feelings, perceptions, thoughts, and consciousness exist. They in turn exist dependent on causes and conditions. They are impermanent. You can't find any self or soul or I in any of the aggregates. Each moment is a new moment. Each moment is a fresh moment. Each moment brings you new insight and new understanding. Nothing is static. Everything is dynamic. Everything is changing. Everything is appearing and disappearing. Feeling arises and passes away. Thought arises and passes away. Perception arises and passes away. Consciousness arises and passes away. You experience only change. In the mental state of deep concentration, you see things as they really are.